In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
In our age, an age of many distractions and many worries, it can be easy for us to forget why Christ was born, why he came to earth as a helpless baby in a cave with a feeding trough for a crib. St. Paul wrote in today's epistle, "He appears so that we may appear with him in glory." Both the first coming of his birth and the second coming at his return are so that we may share in life with him forever. But to encounter Christ at either of these appearances is also to undergo a kind of judgment. For the truth about ourselves becomes visible when we enter into his presence. How we react or respond to him reflects the state of our souls. And the same is true of how we prepare to receive him during this blessed season of the Nativity Fast. Throughout the Old Testament, there were those who ignored the law and the prophets, who did not prepare and were not ready for the coming of the Messiah. This was the case, was it not, for most of the religious leadership of Israel. This was also true at the moment of his birth, when King Herod, with his wicked heart, immediately, instinctively almost, tried to kill Jesus. But on this Sunday, the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers, we remember those who did prepare, all those in the Old Testament who foretold or prefigured the coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming of our Lord at his incarnation didn't simply occur one day as some random event. Rather, it was the fulfillment of a long plan to share divine life with humanity, a plan that took generations to fulfill. And no one was forced to get ready for him. So today it's right that we honor those who willingly accepted the invitation to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And we are invited to use this season of prayer, fasting, and reconciliation to join them. Of course, we all constantly face the temptation to focus on other things. Like the guests invited to the great feast in today's gospel, we very often think that we have more important or more appealing things to do. The guests turned down the invitation because they had land to inspect, oxen to test, or family responsibilities. In other words, they were regular people with everyday obligations. Yet their places at the banquet went instead to the most unlikely characters, the poor, the maimed, strangers from the highways and hedges, while none of those who were originally invited bothered to show up. By this story, brothers and sisters, our Lord reminded the Jews that many were not prepared to receive the Messiah, while many disreputable people, tax collectors, prostitutes, and others, even Gentiles, did receive him. Whether they did so or not judged them, in a sense, for it revealed the state of their hearts. Unfortunately, sometimes we act like those who refused to attend the great banquet, do we not? When we use the everyday obligations of life as excuses not to participate in the very purpose for which our life was created. We turn our obligations or our possessions or even our families into false gods in ways that judge us. That is, that make clear the state of our hearts. And in so doing, we risk shutting ourselves out of the great banquet and refusing the great glory that is ours in Christ Jesus. It's a matter of priorities, yes? Now, St. Paul also instructs the Colossians to prepare to meet Christ by putting their sins to death. For our sins are also forms of idolatry that exclude us from the holy joy of the kingdom. Anger, slander, sexual immorality, covetousness, these are all symptoms of the old nature that Christ came to heal by his incarnation as the second Adam. And the Nativity fast calls us to prepare to welcome the Savior at his birth, so that we're not so distracted and weakened by the sin within us that we have little interest in entering into his presence. In other words, the more we allow room in our hearts for judgment, for pride, for lust, or for greed, the more we will come to justify the presence of these attitudes within us, to the point of coming to consider them as somehow more important than being present with God. It's incredible to hear how we can justify our judgments against another person. Look at the wars happening in the world right now. But our judgments are a sin, and they are separating us from God. There's something within us, isn't there, that doesn't really want the truth about our own souls to be revealed. So, what do? Like Adam and Eve, we hide from Christ, and we run to distractions. Because if we're honest, we don't always really want his invitation to any banquet. It's a little bit too piercing. But it's good to remember the truth. Nothing is hiding our souls from God anyway. He is right there, right here, clearly seeing the true state of everything. And the more we make false gods of other people or our responsibilities or our families or whatever circumstances we happen to face, the more we go blind to the good that Christ was born to bring. Our culture encourages us, does it not, to worship our work, our pastimes, and whatever gives us passing pleasure. So it's easy and tempting to become like the people in today's parable, who really thought they had better things to do than to share life with the one who made them to share life with him. But to do so is to shut ourselves out of the greatest glory possible. It's to sentence ourselves ultimately to misery and decay, one entirely unfitting for those who should call God their Father. Christmas, of course, is a banquet, a great feast of the church. It's a celebration of our redemption in the God-man Jesus Christ, who in himself reunited humanity with divinity, raising our human nature from mortality to immortality. No matter whether we've kept the fast so far, we can use the coming weeks to prepare to enter into the glory of the presence of our Lord. Our preparation isn't about legalism or obligation, but about opening our broken hearts to Christ's healing love. And how we prepare reveals the true state of our souls. Because sin separates us from God, we are invited to reconcile with him in the sacrament of holy confession. Because we encounter the Lord in our suffering neighbors, we are invited to give generously to those in need. Because we so easily become enslaved in self-centered desires, we are invited to fast according to our strength. Because we are shaped by what we attend to, we are invited to establish our hearts in God in regular prayer. Because we are easily distracted, we're invited to keep a close watch over our thoughts, words, and deeds. During these weeks of the fast, brothers and sisters, we're invited to accept the invitation to the great banquet by the practices of the spiritual life of the church, the practices of the Nativity fast, for they are powerful to open our eyes to the glory Jesus Christ brought into the world in Bethlehem. They are powerful to open our hearts to prepare a cave for him. This is what the season of Advent is all about. So take stock, for the hour of the world is late. The earth is wearing out like a garment, as the scriptures say. Are we prepared to welcome Christ into our lives at his birth? Are we prepared in general to accept his invitation to the great feast of the kingdom of God? I pray it is so, for the good news of Christmas is that in a manger in Bethlehem, the fulfillment of all of God's promises given to our forefathers and to our foremothers across the centuries, indeed, the fulfillment of every good hope of all of creation from the very beginning until the very end is made manifest, and it is extended even now to us. The good news is that in the babe of Bethlehem, we are invited to take our place with the forefathers and foremothers of the Messiah in the great heavenly banquet, and to live for all time with him in his shining glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased. Amen.